It's Thursday, the day we read from your letters.
And we begin with response to our interview yesterday with Richard Schmalensee, the dean of MIT's Sloan School of Management. The Sloan School and Harvard's Business School took punitive action this week against dozens of applicants who checked a website at the suggestion of a posting in an online chat room to see whether they'd been accepted. The prospective students have now been turned down for admission to those schools.
We described what the applicants did as hacking, and some of our listeners took issue with that.
David Adams of Springfield, Missouri writes, Dean Schmalensee compared their actions to picking a lock, but that's the wrong metaphor and gives a false impression of what the applicants did.
His letter continues, I'm disappointed that NPR did not attempt to find a voice who could more appropriately explain exactly what these people did, how this whole mess is dangerously overblown, and how the schools in question have a lot to learn about ethics, privacy, and data security in the information age.
Well, we went to someone here at NPR who understands these things well. Robert Holt is the manager for digital media infrastructure at NPR Online. He's going to give us a simple description of what these prospective students actually did. Rob?
Well, what they did was they had to log into the application system, and they were already inside, and all they had to do was change what's in the address bar of your web browser to access a different page. So what you do is you can see the status of your application, and if you change one thing in the little address bar, then you view what only the school administrators were supposed to see.
Is this hacking or not hacking?
Well, that's a distinction that there are arguments on either side. In my opinion, it's not hacking because you had to already be logged into the system. If it were true hacking, the person who hacked the system would have access to everyone's information. All they had access to was their own information that had their own identification.
So, Robert, in your estimation, this was sloppy design work on the part of the company that ran this website, as opposed to hacking?
Yes.
NPR's Rob Holt, thanks for clearing that up. Last week, we began our series on America's regional theaters, and that thrilled Diane Keyes of Eureka, South Dakota. She writes, as an idealistic theater major in college in the 60s, it was not long before I realized that making a living at the art I loved would not be possible for most of us in the field. As I listened to your story driving home, I actually got a little teary to hear that more Americans now attend live theater than attend pro basketball and football combined. What an upper. Thanks for such a bright spot.
Finally, our story on the obelisk in Rome, returned to its home in Ethiopia, called up this fond memory from the Reverend Arthur Carrillo of Detroit, Michigan.
He writes, I lived in Rome just up the street from the obelisk. Late in May of 2002, there was a tremendous thunder and rainstorm. One bolt of lightning struck so close by that there was hardly a separation between the flash of lightning and the crash of the thunder. The next morning, I heard on the radio that the obelisk had been struck by lightning and that the top had been damaged.
So Reverend Carrillo went down and took some pictures of the obelisk. He continues, I'm sharing this story with you because it was just shortly afterward that the Italian government began to make good on its promise to send the obelisk back to Ethiopia. I figured that once they got the bill for the needed repairs, they probably figured it was cheaper to send it home.
Reverend Carrillo sent us his photos of the damaged obelisk, and you can see them at our website, npr.org. And while you're online, you can send us an email right to atc@npr.org. Please remember to tell us where you live and how you pronounce your name.